Good morning, everyone. Tirza Hawkins here for Natural Health Warriors, and I'm here with Sonia today. She's got a really incredible story to share with you, but she's also got some nervous excitement going on because you are waiting for the baby call.
Yes. My daughter is past due, and so she was due on the 13th, and we went in yesterday, and she's making progress. She was 2 centimeters yesterday, and she woke up a little crampy today, so we're hoping that things keep progressing.
For those of you that are watching this in the future, it's the 17th, I believe, this morning, and so she was due on the 13th, so any time now.
Yeah.
Very exciting. And how many... is this your second grandbaby?
No, this will be my third.
Your third?
Yeah. So I have a little boy already and a little girl that is 6 months old, and now I'll have this one. So
awesome.
Yeah.
That's so exciting. Congratulations.
Does that age me?
No, you're still young and beautiful. All right, so Sonia, you have gone through so much in your life. Can you give us a little overview of your backstory and kind of things that have contributed to where you've been physically and emotionally with your health?
Yeah, it's a hard journey. I start tearing up every time I think about it, but...
We have the tissues.
I know.
So I'm like, let's keep the tissues.
The whole box, okay?
Yes, you might want to pause and go get your own tissues.
So I had my biological mom left me when I was 5 with my stepdad, and my stepdad had some difficulties of his own, emotional challenges from being a war veteran, and was abusive, and I was taken out of his home and put into a series of foster care situations that were unhealthy. And so that kind of started my journey of not feeling good enough for anybody. You know, my mom left me. Why did she leave me? Was I not good enough? Was I not pretty enough? Was I not, you know, what's happening? And, you know, my dad's abuse definitely triggered a huge amount of stuff. Foster parents that I didn't feel like cared about me. So I started a lifestyle of being on the run from judicial systems, living on the streets, bouncing house to house, and I think that really spurred the unhealthy, you know, I didn't learn good health choices early on in my life. You can't, living on the streets, it's impossible to do, sleeping on park benches. And ultimately going through a really horrible situation of rape and getting pregnant, and meeting somebody in the process of that. See, look, I'm already tearing up. that basically told me that he wanted to be with me, but I had to give my daughter up in order to do that. And I didn't do that. And then that relationship became very abusive. And... when I was pregnant with her, I had gestational diabetes, so I was 98 pounds when I got pregnant, and I wound up being close to 200 pounds by the time I delivered. Of course, not having good health care and not, you know, being set up and stable in a home environment and doing, you know, medical and all of that, I didn't know. And so I went into placenta previa a month and a half early with her and had emergency cesarean.
And that waking takes a huge toll on our emotional health. Yeah. Like you doubled your body size.
Yeah, yeah. So I was able to, you know, yo-yo diet and get back down, up and down, up and down. And I kept thinking, you know, this whole time about, you know, my daughter and being, you know, around for her, being able to play with her and be healthy. And then I got pregnant again and gained some more weight, yo-yo dieted again, and it just, you know, life events, things like that, a couple of abusive relationships down the road, finally setting into a really healthy relationship with my husband that we've been married since 95, and he's been the hugest blessing in my life aside from my kids. So that kind of set me on a path of, okay, I need to figure stuff out because I don't want to live the way that I was living, and I don't want to live the weight that I was living. And I had actually told my husband I was 298 pounds. And I said, if I get to this 300 pound mark, I don't want to live. I don't want to be around. And that was a real big, like, okay, this is, I've drawn the line in the sand, and I need to fix this.
So you had some health conditions that you were dealing with at that point as well.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of diagnoses.
Yeah, so I had been on and off medication for diabetes. My last daughter, who's now 8, I actually had to do injections while I was pregnant because it was at that level. So I was on and off medication for diabetes and pre-diabetes, metformin and things like that. I was diagnosed with thyroid problems, so I was on thyroid medication. I have always been very anemic and had endometriosis. And then I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia. They thought that it was rheumatoid arthritis for a while and kind of chalked it up as that. And then I saw the rheumatologist and they're like, well, your markers are yes and no. So they couldn't really define that. And then I went to another specialist or another doctor and they said, you have all the signs and symptoms of having fibromyalgia with the flares and everything else. And it got to a point where even on the prescribed pain regimen that they had me on, I was laying on my floor bawling with my husband just looking at me like, did you take your medicine? I don't know what else to do for you. And
fibromyalgia is a diagnosis they kind of just throw out there. They're like, mm-hmm. We're acknowledging that you're in pain. We don't know why. We don't know how to help you. You're probably going to live with this forever. So in order to make you feel better, we're going to give you a name for what you're dealing with.
Yeah. And that's the hard part, isn't it? And then, you know, I'd have doctors say, well, if you lose weight, it'll go away. You know, all your problems are going to go away if you lose weight. Your fibromyalgia will decrease. Your diabetes will decrease, your depression will decrease, your everything will, like, it's like a magic wand, right? You lose the weight, everything's roses. And they push that so much. I mean, you go into the doctor's office and you look at their little sheet. It says, if you're here, you're morbidly obese. It's like, great, thank you very much for throwing that in my face, too. I'm in here for depression, and you're going to put that right there. It's fabulous.
If you weren't depressed enough.
Love the doctor's office. Yay.
So you had some big reasons for wanting to change, to get your weight under control. We talked about some of those physical reasons you know, you were leading Zumba classes, working with kids.
Yeah. It was hard, you know. I mean, I became a Zumba instructor when I was 298 pounds. So that was a congratulations to me. And I'll never forget walking into my Zumba training, you know, girls that were like size 3, 4. And here I am, like a size 32. Not that I bought 32s, I go like extra, extra, extra large, you know, because I didn't want to have the number. I just want, you know, if I had the alphabet, it seemed a little bit better.
Just give me some X's,
I'm good to go. Mm-hmm. I just didn't want to see the number, but I did it. I went in and, you know, you get all these looks and they'll be like, oh my God, what is she doing there? You know, or things like that. And the training, and I know that you've been through the training, is a full day.
Is rigorous.
And
you get like 4 or 5 workouts that in that one day you really need to take like two or three outfits, because I had sweated out my first outfit and it was like our first snack break.
Yeah, we got a 10-minute break, then we got our half an hour lunch break, and we got another 10-minute break, and that was it. Mm-hmm. Rest of the time you're on the floor, you're dancing, you're learning the moves, you're doing what you need to do. And at 298 pounds, I kept up with all of them. So I knew that I could do it because I was so determined that this is what I was going to do. And I love dance, and I've been a gymnastics coach for a lot of years. And so I knew, you know, within all of this layers of unhealthy tissue that I was capable because I'm determined.
So I was a Zumba instructor. Mm-hmm. For 7 or 8 years, and I would hear from so many people, I would love to try Zumba, but I need to lose weight first. I hope you all heard that Sonia said she was 298 pounds when she became an instructor. That didn't mean just that person dancing in the back of the room hoping nobody would look at them. That was Sonia committing at 298 pounds. I'm gonna be that person up there on stage. Everyone's gonna look at me. So I want to encourage anyone that's listening. If you think that you weigh too much, you can do the regular Zumba class in a chair. Like, it is never too late to start moving. You are never too heavy to start exercising and changing your body.
Yeah, every class that I go to that I teach, I always tell people, it doesn't matter to me how you move, mm-hmm. as long as you're having fun and you're out there moving. That's all that matters to me.
And half of it's whether or not you're having fun, it's just your attitude, and whether you're like, I'm gonna put a smile on my face while I make a fool out of myself, mm-hmm. because I don't look anything like that instructor up there.
Well, and trust me, you're looking at me from the back end most of the time. You don't have to worry about looking any other way, and my feet fumble a lot.
So you were also working in a school, mm-hmm. with kids.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people go through journeys and they think, well, either they have two mindsets. Looks aren't important, it's about who you are. Or they have a mindset of looks are important and it doesn't matter who you are. And it doesn't. You know, I've worked with kids and I work with teenagers a lot, and I try to get them to shift the mindsets, because they often have areas of conflict with other students, and some of the students, they don't even know each other. And a lot of that is based upon what we physically see. We make predetermined notions of people based on their appearance, and it's an automatic, almost nature thing to do, and most of the time we're not even aware that we're making those subconscious judgments on people. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh well, they'd never be my friend, or they're giving me a really dirty look, or gosh, that person's not really taking care of themselves. So we come to these like preset determined things, and or we hear other people talking about a person and then we make a judgment call based on that.
Right.
So, but the physical appearance, I mean, if you go to a store and you're walking in the store, there's times where you might see somebody, wow, they have really beautiful hair. That's a predetermined judgment on who they are, right? Because obviously if they have really pretty hair, they must be taking care of it, they must go to a salon, they must do, you know, all these things. We don't have any idea. They may be just naturally gifted with that, and we're making all these assumptions. So the school, I was progressing in my education and what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go, and I still do this, and I was thinking about this last night too, is that even though I've lost a lot of weight, there's things that I still want to fix about myself, and I always wonder going into an interview if they're looking at me and going, wow, she's too old for this, or, you know, she's got a tooth that needs to be fixed, or, you know, because people notice those things and they do these things. But when I was incredibly overweight, I know that there was concerns about my abilities to keep up with the students, or my abilities to complete all the tasks that needed to be tasked, you know, that needed to be completed, or it was just really hard. It was really hard to move forward.
Yeah. And then you've had some really big emotional struggles in spite of losing the weight. You talk about how you see yourself even now and when you look in the mirror.
Yeah. I was actually going to do a small life thing this morning because I was almost in tears this morning. So I've lost, my weight loss total had reached about 150 pounds, which is a significant amount of weight.
That's amazing.
And it's really hard sometimes because I'll put things on or I'll look at things and I still see the bigger person. Mm-hmm. Staring at me in the mirror, and it's because I lived in that for so long, and then you kind of plateau at times, and you can hit rough pockets. I went through a series of loss the past few months. My biological mom passed away after just kind of reconnecting with her. Then my foster dad. And this is a whole nother story, but the foster parents that I have, I call my mom and dad, they took me in as a pre-teenager, and just to do that and open your home up to a wayward teen is incredibly difficult. And I will be the first one to tell you, I was not necessarily a pleasant kiddo by that time. I had already had life on the streets and been through a series of things, and I felt like the situation was going to change. By that time I was already in the mindset that my situation's going to change, they're going to come and take me out of the home, they're going to do this, or these people aren't going to love me enough, or these, you know, this type of thing, which was completely not the truth of these parents. But my foster dad wound up passing away shortly after my biological mom passed away. And then I had a student pass away who I'd worked with a lot, with he and his family, and that took a toll. And then I had two pets pass away. So it was just like the scaffolding of loss. And so I wasn't necessarily taking care as good a care of myself as I could have, and I've put on 10 pounds. And so, you know, 10 pounds, big whoop, right, after 150 pound loss, but I notice it, and so I was starting to beat myself up about it, and I'm like, holy smokes, Sonia, it's, you're doing Zumba, you know, 3-4 times a week, you're back on track, you're doing what you need to do, and it's okay, like, it's, life happens, and you have to take those roles and know where you need to recenter and regain yourself and move forward. And that's probably one of the hardest things, is pushing past that, okay, now I'm a failure because I gained 10 pounds and da 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 da, and it's just going to keep going up and above. And it's just like, get off the roller coaster, stop and move forward.
It's good to acknowledge what stress does to us and how it affects our bodies. Which is why we need techniques of learning how to deal with stress. How do I deal with this emotion that's so overwhelming? How do I stop replaying this movie over and over in my head, in which I tell myself I'm a failure, in which I tell myself I'm still that fat person. If I gain 5 pounds, it's as if I regained 150. Mm-hmm. So that is a huge part of it, is learning how to deal with those emotions. Yeah. So you've lost a lot of weight at this point, mm-hmm. But you hit a big wall because you're still dealing with a lot of physical pain at this point in your journey. Mm-hmm. You talked about not even being able to sleep in your own bed.
Yeah. So I'm working on that. I think after several years of, like, I had to sleep in a recliner because the pain was so great. I can't lay flat, and there was mornings where my husband would actually have to come down and start moving me and lift me out of the recliner and help me to get moving, because I just couldn't. I couldn't do those things on my own. And there's times, especially like in the middle of a lot of loss and those stressors, that some of that fibromyalgia and stuff will try to make its presence, and I'm like, oh man, I hope this isn't, you know, flaring back up or stuff. But I was on a lot of heavy duty pain medications for quite a while with the fibromyalgia. And I think I've hit my year and a couple month mark of not having any prescribed medicines.
That's wonderful. Yeah. So you had stomach surgery.
Yep.
And then had a lot of nutritional issues after that. There was a lack of information that they gave you on how to eat and take care of yourself.
Yeah, so I think that this is, I mean, we could do probably a whole series on just bariatric surgery and what it does and what it means, and more specifically, what you don't realize.
Give us the nutshell, because we should a little bit down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I made the decision, obviously, that I needed to lose weight and be healthy for myself. For my kids and for my husband. My husband is phenomenal. Like, I don't know if you've ever physically met him, but he's phenomenal. Can't say enough about him. And his support has never wavered through thick and thin. 298 pounds or not, he's an amazing person. So I wanted to obviously lose weight for that. Most importantly, I wanted to lose weight for myself. And I know that we have this at the end, but it's because I wanted to live. I didn't truly want to die, but I didn't want to live the way that I was living at that point. And, you know, had I gotten farther, I don't know what would have happened, because then we go into the what ifs, and I don't like to live in that phase anymore.
I think that's a common theme, though, with people that when they reach the point, I don't want to live, it's not that if we offered them a brilliant life, we could flip that coin and take, you know, this horrible situation that they're in and make it amazing and positive, then, you know, it has to do so much with our situation and how we're feeling. And it comes to that point where you're like, I don't want to struggle the way that I've been struggling anymore, because it's wearing me down and I don't like myself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we reach that point.
Yeah. So I had heard about bariatric surgery and I kind of investigated it, and I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't know. So I would go, you know, I did Weight Watchers for a while, and then I'd go to this program, and then I went to a medical clinic where I was doing injections, you know, B12 shots and all that gamut. And I'd go back to Weight Watchers, and then I'd try this, and then I'd go off of it. And, you know, all of that process is really, really takes a toll on your body.
But it all worked initially. You
yeah,
typically, when
pieces,
you start...
pieces, and you're like, wow, I lost, you know, 3 pounds in the past week and a half. And wow, you know, that's really cool. But nothing really taught me, like, what... They all gave you pieces of what you needed. Mm-hmm. But nothing that was encompassing of what you needed. And so when I went and I talked to my therapist, because I've seen a counselor for a while for the post-traumatic stress disorder and my depression, you know, all of that stuff, things that I've carried around with me since my, you know, since I can remember, since my mom walked out the door. So I was talking, you know, I talked to her, and I went through this whole thing, and then I started talking to my PCP, and I went and made an appointment with the bariatric clinic, and, you know, talked to them. And it took me about 5 years of talking to people that have had the surgery, watching some people with the surgery, you know, have great success and then gain a lot of weight back. You know, what was it that was causing them to make, you know, regain their weight? And I knew going into it that I did not want to be the person that goes through this whole journey, loses a lot of weight, and then puts weight back on. Like, that was not going to be me. So if I was going to make a commitment to having that surgery and doing this, I was going to do it. Like, I was not going to go back that other direction. And it took me about five years to get there, like, to make sure that that's exactly what I wanted, that I was ready for it, that my kids were ready for it. And in the mix of having fibromyalgia and bawling on the floor and doing all this other stuff, I said, yep, I'm not. It's time. So I went through the surgery, and You know, they have a nutritionist, and they teach you a good amount of stuff, you know, eating your vegetables and doing other stuff. But it was still missing some components for me that I later found out from Tirza. So, and it's been life shifting.
One of the big ones being we need to take care of our guts.
Yeah. Yeah. I keep going back to our initial conversations about gut health, and I'm like, but I've had bariatric surgery, and what, they didn't talk about, like, they didn't, like, good bacteria, bad bacteria, what it all means, what it's doing, you know, shifting things in and pushing things out. I mean, there's so much there, and I had stomach surgery, guys, and they didn't talk to me about some of this stuff, and my mind was blown. Like, of all the people that should be talking to you about some of this stuff, you would think would be the people that are working on that part of your body.
It's the foundation of our health. If our digestion and intestinal system is not balanced, there's nothing else in your body that can work correctly.
Yeah.
So you then had this great epiphany.
There's the phone. Hang on. It might be. Nope. False alarm, guys. False alarm. Those are spam calls. We don't like spam calls.
They're so annoying. So you had this light bulb moment.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. Boop. Take care of the gut. Wow, that's significant.
Yeah, and I've already said you haven't been on any prescription medications now for the past about 15 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
And I don't think this is the other thing, and we can talk about this a lot at another time too. When you go to a doctor and you get prescribed medicine, like the pain medicine that I was on, the pain medicine that I was on was not fixing the problem.
It's always just a mask.
It's like a Band-Aid. And if you have a gaping wound and you don't do anything and you put a Band-Aid on it and you rip it off in the next 5 seconds, you're still going to be bleeding. Like, you haven't stitched it up. You haven't put anything on it. You're not healing it. You've just covered it up. And that's what the prescribed medicine was doing for me. The pain medicine was just taking the edge off. It wasn't clearing the pain by any stretch. I was still like at a 7 or 8, even with the pain medicine. So it wasn't even relieving everything. And it was putting a bandage on something that was not getting fixed. And I felt so horrible. And I guess I didn't realize until we did this little survey here when I talked to you on where your numbers were.
Your quality of life is a quality of life questionnaire.
And my mind was blown. I'm like, oh my God, I was so sick. That, I mean, the medicines were making me even sicker. Like, you don't realize how horrible it is until you get away from it.
Can you, so that difference of being on the medication and then going off, what was that like?
So, I mean, obviously there's no quick fixes, right? You have to kind of experiment, you kind of have to do stuff, and I talked to you quite a bit about different supplements and things, and then in my own journey of becoming a health coach and learning about things and doing some research, there's some things that I kind of put together and we put together, and I started trying them, and I always go into things knowing it's going to take my system, it's going to take some time, right? So there's no... It's not like the Percocet or the Tramadol or the other stuff that you take. You're like, okay, the edge is off. Okay, I can do this. It is a process of systematically doing stuff from the inside. So there's times where it takes a while to do things. But what's amazing about that is that once you start this and you're going, oh, wait. I can get up out of the chair, and I haven't had any pain medicine. My husband hasn't had to lift me out of the chair. Or, wow, I've made it through teaching back-to-back Zumba classes 5 days a week. And there's even just small things. Like, the other night, and I did this on my fitness page, I talked about this. As I looked at my husband, I said, I don't think I did my magnesium today. And then I thought about it and I looked at him again and I said, I'm quite certain that I didn't do my magnesium today. So it's not that I immediately felt what those things were doing, but I can immediately tell when I don't have those in my system now, which is a huge shift.
Because then your body's like, wait, I want this. Yeah. In order for me to do what you want me to do today, like this, yeah. And it's kind of the difference between managing your quality of life and improving your quality of life.
Yeah.
So you put in place a new plan.
Yeah.
You had tried all of these other ones. Tell us a little bit about that new plan you're working on.
So my plan was obviously to get healthy and to try to do things the right way. My plan was not to revert back to the old habits. My plan was to continuously challenge myself to regulate emotionally, you know, and live in the now and not in the back, because this is a whole new beginning, right? And if you take every day as, if you take every day as a brand new beginning and you start from where you currently are, it makes a huge difference. If you constantly worry about the what ifs, if you constantly worry about my mom leaving me when I was five, if you constantly worry about not being pretty enough or gaining the 10 pounds, you can't continue to move forward. You can't enjoy the things that you should be enjoying, like the future grandbaby that I'm going to have, or the two that I already have, or my incredible husband that has supported me for years. I will live in a self-wallowing pity thing. So my plan was and is to continue to work with Tirza, to continue to work within myself and to challenge myself to help other people, because this stuff has made an incredible life-changing difference in my life.
So you made a huge decision. Sonia has been through so much in her life. She could have held on and just chosen to be a victim and not get anywhere, and blame her pain and her past and where she's been and what she's going through. But it's so inspiring because you have chosen to rise above your circumstances and make yourself a better person and set an example for your children and your grandchildren. It's an incredible legacy that you are setting and showing them. It's so great.
And there's stumbling blocks, there are. There's times where you're not gonna make good decisions, or you're in the mix of stuff, and you might eat the wrong things, and you might say the wrong things, and you might look the wrong way for the occasion, but you know what? You just dust it off and you keep moving forward. So
as we all go through challenges in our everyday life, and it's what we do with those challenges. So what's your achievement? Where are you at right now?
Well, I'm still working on that.
We're all always a work in progress. It's when we quit working on ourselves that we have a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So my achievement is, continuing to, I've lost an incredible amount of weight. I haven't had any reconstructive surgery, and, I've become a wellness coach. I'm taking my group fit licensure again because I missed by one point, but I didn't give up. I'm going back and I'm doing it, and I'll pass it this time. But that's coming from somebody who didn't want to live, you know? That's coming from somebody who never saw themselves in the front row saying, I'm going to help other people to do what I've done because it works and it makes a difference. And it takes time. There's no magic cure, and there's no quick fix. I didn't gain all that weight overnight. I didn't live the first 40 years overnight, right? My journey began after I hit, I've been on the journey for 49 years. I know it aged me, but I've been on this journey this long, so I can expect that journey is going to continue, for however long I live. And what do I want to do with that? So my achievement is pushing towards being the best version of myself that I can, and helping others achieve the best versions of themselves that they want. And we can do that. She's awesome.
yeah, I love just coming to that end of one of the last things you'd wanted to say was that you now wanted to live, and you've said it a couple of times. So there is hope out there. If you're someone that is struggling and your circumstance is so big that you don't feel like your life is worth living, it is up to you to take that step and decide that you want to live. Because you might not want to live right now, but you can decide that you want to live. And so just starting that little baby step towards that is how you get that momentum. So as she said, Sonia did become a health coach. She works with me very closely with my Natural Health Warriors program. And you can have Sonia walk through your journey with you in our Natural Health Warriors program. She has her own website. It is sonia.nhwarriors.com. Phonetically, that would be Sierra Oscar November Yankee Alpha dot November Hotel Warriors.com. For those of you, if you can't understand all of my letters, I don't enunciate sometimes or have a weird accent on them, but you can work with Sonia personally, sonia.nhwarriors.com. She would love to coach you through your transformation. So thank you, Sonia, so much for being vulnerable and sharing your story with us today. I hope it touches those listening and watching as much as it has touched me. I've heard Sonia's story a dozen times now, and I never get tired of it. It's really, truly amazing, and I hope it inspires those that are watching or listening. So thank you all, and have a wonderful, blessed day.
Yes.